Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Yeah, I think as we've seen, it's generally been slow to materialize. But you know, we're having conversations with other teams, and agents, and still recognize that there's, you know, at this point some work to be done in terms of rounding out the roster on the position player side and finding that middle of the order bat that can really kind of change the profile of the offense.
What a way to ruin my damn Christmas! KJ and Lyons, WEEI. That's Craig Breslow talking about adding bats to this team. John, what happened with Kyle Schwarber? Did he get added?
Nope.
How about Pete Alonso? Did he get added?
Nope.
So what are we doing here? So let's go back to last year, John. At this time last year, you remember? The Sox were in on Juan Soto at $600 million. So this year they're not in on Schwarber or Alonso in the 150 range?
And that's something, too. I'm glad you brought that up because Adam Jones talked about this on the midday show on Thursday, and I thought it was a great point in that this 5-150 style contract is actually the type of contract the Red Sox, you would think, would be more willing to go for. Like, we've seen them not want to go all the way for Ohtani or Soto or Yamamoto, those $300-plus million deal, those type of guys. But 5-1, I mean, if you think about it, they gave Bregman $40 million for 1 year, so this would be less AAV, you know, over the course of the deal, and you would think this would be the deal they would go. Like, it wasn't like Alonso got 5-250 or 7 years.
Or 5-200.
Right, or 7 years and $300 million, or even like Bogaerts when it was 11 but 280. Like, he got a deal that you would think would be the type of deal they would go for. And that is, I think, arguably the most disconcerting part of all this. Because, right, like, when they didn't sign Ohtani, you'd be like, all right, well, $700
million. John, you know what's happening? And I'm just thinking about this right now as you're talking. First, the Red Sox have gone short on the money. Now they're about to go short on the years. Because yeah, you're exactly right. Like, make it make more sense that you say, we're going to give Bregman 40 for 1 year, and he can opt out each year. So, in essence, you could give him 3 for $120. But wait, you wouldn't give Pete Alonso, say, 4 for $130?
Right. And that's the thing is, like, that this would be the type of deal you would think, like when they didn't do the Ohtani deal or the Soto deal, like, yeah, sure, it's disappointing, but I mean, Ohtani was never probably going to come here
anyway.
You're
in the middle of a bidding war with these other teams, yes.
And Soto, you can say, okay, well, you can justify not spending, because with escalators and options, I think Soto will end up being like $800 million. Like, okay, fine. I you could have done it, but I understand why you didn't. And then they gave Crochet a lot of money. And then they gave Bregman only for 1 year, but a lot of money. And you look at it and you say, okay, they were willing to spend on those guys, plus they extended Roman Anthony, they extended Christian Campbell. We'll see how that works out. But they've been willing to do some of these things, and you would think Alonso would be the type of thing, that structure of a deal, that they would be willing to do. I mean, I would argue Dylan Cease as well, 7 years and 210, like that's a deal they should be willing to do. But Alonso, 5-1, like, that's the type of deal they should be willing to do, and that they've shown at least that they've been kind of willing to consider over the last few years. And for them to not do it, and then on top of it, get outbid by a division rival. Like, if you look at KJ, the three biggest free agent signings so far are Kyle Schwarber, Pete Alonso, and Dylan Cease. And two of them went to the AL East to division rivals of you. Like, that, to me, that is really... like, it's almost disheartening as a Red Sox fan to see it happening again.
Let me go back to your Garrett Crochet comment, because I don't think the Red Sox paid a lot of money for Crochet. I think they got over with a great deal for Crochet, right? Because 6 years, what, 170?
It is great value, yeah.
Right? And I think what Max Fried did, what, 180? What Blake Snell with the Dodgers was like 4-180, 5-180, something like that. Something,
yeah,
in there?
That sounds right. Like, because the money they gave Crochet was a little less than what Max
right.
Fried got. And
so
they traded for Crochet, I think, a day or two after Fried's. Because you and I were on air when Fried signed
right.
with the Yankees. And I think within 2 days, you and I were on the air again, and they had traded for Crochet. So it was right after it.
Fried, idealistically, was supposed to be plan 1A after the Soto sweepstakes. You're like, if you lose the Soto, you should be right there for Max Fried. It didn't happen. But look, they added on the years and gave Crochet less money. So they got a steal in Crochet, because he's 6 years. Most of these guys are doing five, and it's less money than even what Snell. And he's younger, but he's also coming off of Tommy John. But clearly, we've seen that that's okay. But I think that's kind of the speed that the Red Sox work in. It's like we were saying, like, okay, let's not be high and balloon him. Go find these guys with these Band-Aids that they're looking for, right? But now you're like, okay, Schwarber was here once, and I was willing to forgive letting Schwarber go, because I said, look, Schwarber's going to get more money in the National League, right? Remember I said this. He's going to get more money in the National League because everybody's going to be a DH. Both leagues are going to be DH. They can get more money. You may not want to get into that. Okay, fine. Now that he's available again, how does he go to Baltimore? When, like, first of all, Baltimore literally did not spend last year.
That's that new ownership group, man, David
right.
Rubenstein. He's fine.
Right.
And if you have another team, now think about this, too. Right, so the Yankees, and I know the Yankees aren't the George Steinbrenner Yankees,
right.
but they'll still spend a lot. Then you have the Blue Jays, who not only go to Game 7 of the World Series, but let's not forget, they gave Vlad Guerrero a big extension. Now
yep.
it's Dylan Cease. We'll see if they bring Bo Bichette back. They have Trey Savage, young guy on a good contract. Now you have Baltimore with a new ownership group that, not just with Alonso, but it appears willing to spend. So what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to spend the fourth most? In the AL East?
Well, that ownership in Baltimore, they did spend that first year when they got Corbin Burns, but didn't re-sign him, and then spent money
right.
for no one last year. And then I guess because they listened to the fans. But here's just thinking about this, talking about Pete Alonso. How are the Red Sox not able to convince him to come play in a field that's 310 to left? What is it like? It's like 370. It's like 355, like 370 down the line. Baltimore's got a really deep left field with a high wall. Like, it's the long part of the ballpark. So you couldn't even convince them, like, look, you'll be here with a short porch. You've got speed in front of you. You know, there are other things we're working with. Now, the only reason why I think that they lose out potentially in Bregman isn't so much about the numbers. I mean, about lose out on Pete Alonso is because they don't have a definitive answer of what they're going to do with Bregman. I think that's the only reason why you can't get either Schwarber, who's played here before and saw the love that he got, or Alonzo, who wouldn't have to go far. You wouldn't have to go far. It's a shorter distance from New York to Boston than it is from New York to Baltimore. So why couldn't they convince this guy that, hey, we are who you want to be with, and we are just coming out of the playoffs?
I don't think it's about convincing him, KJ. I think it's about they didn't want to spend the money. Like, if they had the same offer as the Orioles, you know, let's just call it 5 and 150. I know there's some options and other things in there. I think he would have picked Boston. Like, that's it. And we saw the reports that it was less years and less money. It wouldn't surprise me, KJ, if we find out in a week or in a month or whenever that they offered him almost the same deal that Bregman signed last year. You know, 3 and 120, but with an opt-out after the first or second year. And there's no way he's going to take it. We're talking about one of the best power hitters in the game. If you just gave him, I think, the same offer the Orioles did, you'd have him. And it's a conscious decision by them to not do it, right? Because you go back to last year, they made a decision that they were going to sign Chapman and they were going to trade for Crochet, and they went out and they did those things, right? The December 11th, 2 days ago, was the one-year anniversary of them trading for Crochet. Those were decisions they made. They went out and did it. Then Bregman, I think to an extent, they kind of lucked out that no one else wanted him, and he didn't want to take that deal with the Tigers, so they got him. And it feels like this offseason, they went out and made a decision that, yeah, we like Pete Alonso, but we are not going to offer him above, you know, number X or whatever. And then they got outbid by their division rival. Feels like the same thing happened with Dylan Cease in Toronto as well.
I'll tell you what. Let's go to break here. We'll go to trending here shortly, and then we'll bring Nate Gordo in when we come back. 617-779-7937. We continue the Red Sox conversation here on KJ Lyons. Right now it's time to trend with David Azar.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Give us what you got on the pursuit of Alex Bregman. I know the club would love to have him back. He was such a great fit. Where are you right now?
Sure. So we are having a bunch of conversations, and you're right. We've got to not just kind of chart option A, but also B, C, D, and on. But we had the chance to see up close what Alex can bring to a clubhouse, what he can bring to the field. He emerged as a leader, especially a leader amongst those young players, and his impact on our team was huge. We obviously remain engaged in conversations, but exactly how things will go, we're not sure.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI, thank you for spending your Saturday here with us. We're here till 2, leading you up to the Army-Navy game. That is your favorite and my favorite, John, Craig Breslow, on the potentials of getting Alex Bregman back. I'll bring up the Bregman stuff here shortly. Let's bring in Nat Gordo of Playtesi, part of our team here at WEEI. Nat, how are you feeling this week after the winter meetings? about what Breslow and the Red Sox have done so far.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit disappointing. You know, it just kind of felt like their offseason needed to start with one of Pete Alonso or Kyle Schwarber. And I think they felt the same way, at least for a time. Obviously, you know, you never know where these markets are going to go. And obviously both got to a place where the team wasn't comfortable. But to me, it's disappointing that you're just not going to have one of those surefire cleanup style 30 home run guaranteed bats in the lineup. And you're going to have to pivot elsewhere to try to find that power. And it's not going to be as sure of a bet as one of those guys would have been. So they're going to have to pivot from here, and we'll see where they go.
So, Nat, I want to follow up on that because Craig Breslow talked about earlier this offseason about finding that bat to put in the middle of the order, to hit for power. And with Schwarber and Alonso gone, I just don't know if I see that answer out there. I know they've been linked to Wilson Contreras. I mean, you can like Okamoto from Japan. Bo Bichette, obviously, when healthy, can hit for some power. But I don't. I mean, is the, and I know obviously the pipe dream is trading for Tatis, but is there a realistic pivot out there, Gordo, that they can go that will give them kind of what Craig Breslow talked about before?
Well, that's the problem for me, is like the names you said right there. Like Wilson Contreras has never hit 30 home runs. Okamoto doesn't project to hit 30 home runs. A lot of the guys there that they're in on, like Bregman hasn't hit 30 home runs since 2019. Bichette hasn't done it in a while. I think he might have done it early in his career, but like none of these guys are the sure bet 30 home run, middle of the order mashers that Craig Breslow said he was interested in. He said he wanted to add power, home runs being a foolproof way to produce runs, especially in the postseason. I mean, he talked about it over and over again at different points in the offseason, GM meetings, winter meetings. So to me, I mean, I think it starts with bringing Alex Bregman back and understanding that he's not going to be that guy. He fills a different role on this team, and you're going to have to rely on your scouting development, whatever, to figure out which of these guys can you place in Fenway Park, whether it be Wilson Contreras, Isak Paredes, Eugenio Suarez, Okamoto, Murakami. Like, there are still lots of names out there, but which one of those guys can you plop in Fenway Park and hope for the best that they're going to be that cleanup hitter for you?
Nat, let me get back to the Bregman scenario because it's interesting, right? Remember, during the season, it might have been around July, Bregman was ready to talk extension. I, for one, was like, hey, let this guy play some more, because I think he probably played maybe 60 games at that point, so don't offer the extension. Do you believe they kind of regret now the Red Sox not offering, not giving him an extension before the season was over? Or do you think they did the right thing to wait it out to see what would happen?
I think they did the right thing to wait it out, because if you paid him earlier on in the season, then you're paying him when he had like a 900-plus OPS and looked like one of the better hitters in baseball. You know, his finish to the season, statistically at least, was not totally strong. So it's obviously uncomfortable with him being out there on the free agent market, free to at any point in time sign with any team, whether it be the Red Sox or someone else. But I don't know exactly where his market is going. I don't know exactly how much he's going to get paid. You would think that with Alonso and Schwarber getting 150 plus each, that Bregman would be able to get into that territory. But I, outside of the Red Sox and the Cubs, I don't know exactly where his market is, and the Cubs weren't willing to go there last year. So to me, I don't think there's regret there, even though it's a little bit uncomfortable as we sit here in the middle of December right now. But if he goes elsewhere at some point, then that's a completely different question.
So now when it comes to Bregman last year, it felt like the Red Sox, to an extent, kind of lucked out that he was still available as late as he was. And they gave him the offer he liked, the best short-term money, and he took it. But with this offseason, with them especially losing out on Schwarber and Alonso, do you think they'll try to be a little bit more aggressive in their pursuit of Bregman? Or do you think they are, I know you said the market's still developing, or do you think they're more content for him to just kind of hang around through December, through January, and if he's still there, try to sign him at that point?
You know, the way the Red Sox have played, not just with Alex Bregman, but with everybody, it's been they place a value on a player, and they don't, for the most part, move off of that. So even though we are all sitting here uncomfortable and wanting them to get more aggressive because the options are slowly dwindling. You saw Jorge Polanco sign with the Mets earlier this morning, and that was a guy the Red Sox had expressed interest in as well. But to me, I still think that they're going to hold firm, and they've got their price, they've got their value that they see Alex Bregman at, and they're gonna lay it out there for him. And if he wants to take it, he'll take it, and we'll see where his market takes him. I think they still do have some leverage here as long as Ketel Marte and Bo Bichette are both still available. Marte via trade, Bichette via free agency. But if those options go off the board and the Red Sox still don't have one of those second base, third base options, that's when Bregman's camp is going to get a little bit of extra leverage. We'll see if the Red Sox push forward from there. But as of right now, just because Alonso and Schwarber have signed, I don't necessarily think that the Red Sox will feel the need to bend the knee here just yet.
Nat, I wanted to ask you of a conversation I had with a buddy of mine who covers the Dodgers. I've held this under my hat. John Lyons knows about it. But there has been a conversation about potentially Tyler Glasnow coming to the Red Sox, Jared Duran going out to the Dodgers, and then there would be a third team that would be in the mix, potentially the Twins, that might be off the board. If Breslow can't get that bat, does he now move back to the attention of getting at least a known quality number two starter?
Well, that could be a way to go about it, if I'm being honest. Like, you look at the offense and you say, for this offense to compete at the top of the league, they need multiple big bats. And if that's not out there, if there isn't that secondary big bat that you see as a fit for the team, another way to go about it would be to push the throttle down on efforts to get a co-anchor for Garrett Crochet, whether it be, I mean, as you said, Tyler Glasnow, but there's other options out there as well. Freddie Peralta, they've discussed in trade talks. Cole Reagans is a name that Red Sox fans have loved all offseason, and Jaron Duran has been connected to the Royals as well. So maybe there's a deal to be had there. There's several high-end starting pitchers on the trade market and the free agent market that have not moved yet. And if the Red Sox don't see a high-end bat, and especially if Bregman goes elsewhere and that money is still available, you could see them push assets in to further fortify the rotation and potentially trade away some of that depth at the same time.
So, Gordo, one pitcher that I've been interested in for a while now and who's a free agent is Michael King, who missed part of last year, injured with San Diego, but set 3 years in a row of an ERA below three before that. It feels like he could be a guy they could bring in and slot behind Crochet. He's pitched in playoff games, pitched in high leverage moments. Like, is that a name you look at? Or a lot of the names you did mention were trade targets. Do you think it's more likely they go the trade route instead to get this starting pitcher? Or?
The most likely route, I think, is either trade route or leave as is for now and maybe revisit it at the trade deadline. And the reason I think that is because, I mean, we know it. This team has set a budget somewhere in between the first luxury tax line and the second luxury tax line. They're around 20-ish million under the first line, 40-ish million under the second. So Mike King's a great pitcher. Like, I like Mike King too. And when he's been healthy, he's been great. But this is a guy who's going to command maybe not as long of a term of a deal, but AAV wise, around $25-ish million. And that's going to eat heavily into the amount of remaining space the Red Sox have. And that's with them still needing two bats. So if they got a bat or two bats via trade and still had money available, then my attention would immediately turn to a guy like Mike King. But for now, with the remaining budget that they have and the holes they have on offense, that's kind of where my focus is at.
Talking with Gordo, Play Tessie podcast, also part of our team here. WE. Look, okay, so it's great bringing these guys in that we talk about, but who is the quality that goes out? I mean, do you think they can make a deal for Tristan Cassis potentially with all the, you think Cassis probably wants to stay, but do you think Cassis is part of the future plans after this whole Alonso and Kyle Schwarber debacle?
You know, it's hard. Like, I've always been a big believer in Tristan Cassis, but with the injury he had and with the conversations that you just mentioned, and not to mention their trade talks involving Cassis last offseason, it is hard to make the argument that from an outside perspective that they believe in him as the long-term answer at first base. With that said, though, I don't know where his value stands at this point, just because he's come off of two straight seasons of not playing much, and he's coming off of a very significant knee injury. So to me, if they're making a trade, I mean, they have a ton of starting pitchers. They got 14 starting pitchers on their 40-man. Too many starters to fill even a big league rotation and a AAA rotation.
None of them are number
twos. Someone's going to have to go out there. Yeah. Not number twos, but right. guys that have value as controllable, optionable, with at least mid rotation upside. And then obviously they've got the extra outfielders, four outfielders that are all above average.
You could say they still have Yoshida. You could say that Yoshida is still here.
Yoshida is still here. Does he have value? No, but he is still here.
So, Gordo, that kind of leads me to my next question. You mentioned the surplus of outfielders. I just can't help but wonder how Christian Campbell and Marcelo Meyer fit into this picture, because Trevor Story's opted in. He's going to be your shortstop. And Campbell and Meyer, I mean, I don't expect either one of them to play first base. So if you trade for Marte or you bring back Bregman, I mean, all of a sudden that's two guys for one spot. And I know Meyer is, I think, the better player and the more highly touted prospect, but Campbell was the guy that started
better
opening
hitter.
Day last year. I mean, how do these guys kind of fit in to what they're trying? It just feels like it doesn't feel like both of those guys are in their future plans, at least right now, unless they want to go with both of them in the infield on opening day.
Yeah, these are two really interesting dudes, two of the big three from a year ago, but now in completely different visions, I suppose, for where the Red Sox are at. I think Marcelo is super valuable because he showed he can play an above average third base and second base last year, which is what allows the Red Sox to look into both guys like Bregman to play third and guys like Marte to play second, because wherever you get that guy, you can just put Marcelo at the other position. If they got both, then I don't know what the deal would be with Marcelo, which is why I've been hesitant to suggest that. As for Campbell, it feels like they're starting to maybe hone in on him as an outfielder, maybe potentially a left fielder. And we're going to see some of that coming up in the Puerto Rican Winter League. He's out there playing right now. He looks really strong. He's obviously put on a lot of muscle that he lost over the course of last season. We will see, I think, where Campbell falls into the future plans. I don't think that they're going to open up a full-time spot for him to walk right into in spring training. But those opportunities, as you guys see over the course of baseball seasons every year, those opportunities open up. And if he comes and grabs one, then we might be having this four outfielders for three spots conversation again next offseason.
All right, a cause and effect question, Gordo, for you before we let you go. If Bregman is not kept, does Meyer become your everyday third baseman? And who do you go after to make up for the big salary that you thought you would spend but you're not going to spend? Where do they turn to?
If Bregman's not back, I'm looking at two names. I'm looking at Ketel Marte via trade from the Diamondbacks, and I'm looking at Bo Bichette, free agent from the Blue Jays. And both of those guys, if signed or traded for the Red Sox, would play second base, which would make Marcelo Meyer, at least for the coming season, a third baseman. I think Bregman should be at the top of their priority list, but like we were talking about before, they don't need to get super uncomfortable, at least yet, because those other names are still on the market. They do have pivot points that are both all-star caliber players.
Last question for me, Gordo. Does the 2027 potential lockout have anything to do with this, them not offering Alonso as much, or reluctance for some of these long-term deals in reports? I know Henry's been kind of reported as leading the charge on that. Does that have anything to do with this?
Well, Henry has been leading, partially leading the charge for a salary cap. I don't know how realistic that pursuit is going to be, so I'm sure Henry is realistic about it himself. The truth is the Red Sox have been hesitant to give out long-term deals for a while, at least for free agents, especially free agents that are in their 30s, like an Alonso, like a Schwarber, like a Bregman. So I think it more so relates to that and just their history of skittishness that results from deals from guys like Pablo Sandoval to Masataka Yoshida to Trevor Story, deals that they've given out to free agents that have bit them fairly quickly. And I think John Henry has seen those results and doesn't want to go down that road again.
It's Gordo at Nat Gordo on Twitter or X. Do I give my age when I say Twitter instead of X? Does that do that?
Damn! No.
Yeah.
It's always Twitter.
It's always Twitter.
I agree, Gordo.
It's always Twitter. Gordo, thank you so much for joining us here on KJ Lyons. Have a great weekend, and hopefully there'll be a nicely wrapped free agent bat under the Christmas tree for the Sox this year.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, yeah, sure thing. Yeah, John, it's interesting. You have a glutton. It's if Campbell is going to be trained to be an outfielder and you already have too many outfielders, how do you get rid of some of the outfielders when some of the outfielders haven't been able to show their value just yet? I would say Yoshida falls in that pot right there. If you bring Campbell up as the, you know, does Ref Snyder stay? If I'm Ref Snyder, I'm probably thinking like, now's the time to jump ship completely.
Like, and I think the other piece of that too, KJ, to your point, like when you look at Duran and Abreu and Rafael and Anthony, it's not only, hey, four outfielders for three spots, they're all too good to be DHs either, right?
Right.
Like they're all good enough. It's not like one of them is a horrible defender. Like, you know, Abreu's won multiple gold gloves. Rafael has won a gold glove. Duran is not as good as those guys, but he's still a good fielder. Anthony's going to potentially be a top 10 player in baseball. You don't want that guy to just be a DH. So it's not like, oh, yeah, we have three outfielders and we can play the fourth at DH. Those guys, it feels like, are too valuable for that. And then if you add Campbell to the mix as kind of a guy on his way up, then it's like you're going to have to trade at least one of those guys,
yeah,
maybe two. And that's why I asked him about Marcelo Meyer, because I feel like he's this guy that, you know, he's a top five pick. He's, you know, arguably the most exciting Red Sox prospect since, you could say, Mookie Betts or Xander Bogaerts, you know, 15 years ago. And he showed some promise last year, but he's been hurt multiple years in a row at the end of the season. You're still kind of wondering about him breaking through. I mean, he's already been passed by Roman Anthony as far as young players mm-hmm. in the system go. Where does that guy, because I feel like they would probably regret if they traded Marcelo Meyer, even for a good return, and he ended up being good. But how much patience are you going to have with him if you've already been linked to Bregman and Marte, guys that will play those positions in their 30s already?
So maybe you're the Red Sox and you believe there's more value seen by others with Meyer because of his cost, his youth, his ability to play defensively, right? Like, he may be able to go to a team where there's just not that same stress, right? In terms of performance.
And the Campbell thing too is weird, because I mean, I thought Meyer should have won the job out of spring training last year. He was better in spring training. I think a lot of it had to do with Campbell played ball with them on the contract. But then Campbell comes out and he wins AL Player of the Month in April. And you're like, all right, maybe they're on to something. And then he totally falls off. He's the worst defender on the team. He gets worse at the plate. And let's not forget, and I think this is an important piece, KJ.
You want Campbell and Meyer to kind of have a baby. Like, your bat and your glove together,
right,
is
ideal. And I think a really important thing that a lot of people, I think, forget is once they sent Campbell down, he never came back up. Even with all the uncertainty at second base, even after Meyer got hurt, even with Anthony playing well as a young player, even in September, Campbell never made it enough that he was able to make it back up.
But I understand why you didn't bring him back up, because if you don't bring him back up, then that means you really have a vested interest in his future. You want to see this much further than probably what it looks like right now. And the other part of it is, if you would want him to be on fire if you bring him up, right? Like, there weren't reports that like Campbell's just absolutely totally on fire. It's just like, hey, some of the course correct things that happened, because remember, he sped through all the leagues over the last year or so. So maybe it's like a course correct where you're like, hey, this guy's a triple-A player, and let him really dominate here for the bulk of a season. So like, if he's not a call-up next September and he's still on the roster, then that's when you say, okay, maybe this guy is not part of the plans, because you're now looking at a full calendar baseball season and at least half of the previous one where you did not offer anything to the major league club. So I think there's still another year to give Campbell an opportunity, and by not having him in the mix, you can then say, I think Mayo is a part of the plan. I think he's the backup plan at third, and I think he's the primary plan at second. Right, that's why you hear the Marte.
And I would agree with you. I wonder, like, will they have the patience? Because again, it feels like with Anthony passing him by, and it feels, and the injury issues at the end of these seasons. I mean, I like the player, and I like him as a prospect, and I think he could have a good career. But you wonder, do you want to bank on that for a full year, given his injury history, given that he's young, given that he didn't play a full season in the major, like that's the part of it that I wonder, especially because they've been linked to guys at both positions, how they really, because I do agree with you, but it does give me pause to kind of how they feel.
See, because second base is that position where you could say we can allow for defense to be the primary strength of that person right there, right? Even if you look at the history of baseball, like baseball and second baseman are not synonymous with power or like big-time blockbuster trades. Like the last second baseman I can think of that they're like, wow, they really made that trade was Roberto Alomar Jr., right? Like, no, I mean, Roberto Alomar, his brother was the junior.
And I think that was Christian Campbell's biggest downfall, by the way, was how much his defense fell off.
Right.
You know, midway through April on. You know, I think if he had been a really good defender and still having trouble hitting,
more patience with the bat. Yeah.
He would have at least stayed in the major leagues longer than he did.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so I think they have to find that out from Campbell. I think Mayer gets more, he has more rope to work with. I think Cassis is a big worry because. Like Gordo said, there's no value on Cassis.
And not only did he have the catastrophic injury, KJ, as we've talked about, he wasn't playing well before that.
Right.
Like defensively or offensively. It wasn't like he was hitting 300 and playing great defense at first base. He wasn't playing good defense, and he was hitting, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he was like 185 or something when he got hurt, like around the Mendoza line. So it's not even like teams can look at it and say, oh, yeah, before he got hurt, he was great, so we'll trade for him. Like, I don't see much value there right now.
Was it with Lou Maloney that I joked, but I wasn't kind of joking, that like Cassis could be on a Bobby Dalbec track just because Dalbec had those 2021 homers when he came up and everything, and they were like, okay, we'll move him to third, we'll make him a first baseman, and then it just never clicked. With Cassis, Cassis is a first baseman, but the defense hasn't shown up. You've seen a little bit of the pop, but he hasn't been long enough to show 25 home runs, right? Because if we're talking about Alonso and Schwarber, why you're not getting him, it's really a subtle conversation of, hey, Tristan Campbell hasn't turned out to be what we think he could be, and we don't believe he can be that moving forward if they choose to do so. Do I sound wrong on that?
No, and I think for a team that just went to the playoffs, they have a boatload of questions on their infield. Like, at catcher, they're good, and I think in the outfield, they're fine. They're all set for the future, but long term, you don't know who your first
resign is what would convince you. And
yeah, right. Yeah, you don't know who your first baseman is long term. You don't know who your second baseman is long term. You don't know who your third baseman is long term. And even
your shortstop disfigured it out now.
I know, right? He opted back in, but I mean, he doesn't really have a track record of playing full seasons. I mean, he did last year.
Right.
You can't depend on him doing it again. And let's not forget, defensively, last couple weeks of the season last year, he struggled a lot. And I know at the plate he was still pretty good, but he struggled a lot. So you have a ton of questions on your infield for a team that just went to the playoffs.
All right, still to come, the Celtics are on a roll. Should Jaylen Brown be in the MVP conversation, like at the top of it? Next, the debut of a new feature on KJ and Lions. It's called Shootout. Next on WEEI. Thanks so much for hanging out.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on your Saturday. 617-779-7937. That is also the text line. Still to come, Army-Navy game. Annual tradition that just, as actually, I'm thinking of like my old co-host. I can't say her name on the air because she's with another station in the market, so you don't want to give like shouts like that. But she does like Army Navy like pre parties, like one of the best in the region. So LG, that's my girl, LG. I'll just use the initials. People can figure that out probably for that. Army Navy guy, are you, John?
So I'll follow it. Like I thought it was really cool when it was at Gillette last year.
Right.
I'm 2 years ago. I'm a big college football guy. I'm not as into the Army Navy game as some other folks, but I enjoy it.
You know, it was back in the day. Why it's really big, because Roger Staubach won the Heisman, Navy, correct? I can't remember who's the last person who went from Army. And then for football-wise, and then David Robinson was when Navy was a good basketball team. I remember that. You know, but hey, there it's the sport. It's not because of sports is why they serve. And so that it's always fun, especially when, like, you know, like Army might be like 0-12 and Navy's like 11-1 and Army wins. And how they just lose it on one side of the stadium. Like, it you know what? Army-Navy game is the one football game, I think, set up in America, situated very much how international soccer and its fandom is celebrated. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, how they do the walkout and all that
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right. It's the one thing, tradition that connects, like, American football and international soccer is how that fandom is handled. All right, 617-779-7937. We're 2 minutes away from the debut, well, for John, of Shootout. David, what do you have on the text line?
Yeah, 603 texter. Do you smell that? It's the basement for the Red Sox.
I still think they'll be better than the Rays. I'll give you that. But I just think it's notable because you look at the AL East. The Blue Jays just went to Game 7 of the World Series. They added Dylan Cease, and frankly, I expect Bo Bichette to go back. The Orioles, look, I know they had a down year last year. They have a lot of great young players. I expect some of those guys to bounce back. Now they add Alonso. I bet you they had a pitcher as well. And oh, don't forget the Yankees. Gerrit Cole is going to be coming back this year to add to Max Fried and Rodon. Like, they had two all-star starting pitchers last year. Now they're going to add Cole. We'll see how good Cole actually looks. But still, like, everyone around you in that division is getting better. And if you're the Red Sox right now, you haven't.
Yeah, I'm with the texter.
Enough is enough!
I mean, just because we all smiled and showed up at ballparks and had a great summer, now suddenly we're just going to have to go back to, you know, picking the seeds off the bottom of the floor. Like, yeah, look, Tampa may not even be – Tampa didn't – like, it would be embarrassing if you fell behind Tampa who didn't even play in Tampa that season. I think they'll have their stadium up, but I really believe that Tampa probably moves – Charlotte probably makes a bid for them.
Is it Nashville trying to get a team too?
They won't put it in Nashville. It takes it out of the time zone. You've got to think of like who's in your time zone. Like, first of all, you gave Tampa a franchise because you listened to George Steinbrenner. That's the only reason why Tampa has a team. Well, they had a stadium.
Well, they need a stadium that's actually like in Tampa. You know what I mean? Like to get there is not easy.
What they need to do is get a stadium in Charlotte and just have people, because all Tampa is about is Yankee fans coming to see them, Red Sox fans coming to see them. If Baltimore moves, they don't even really care. But if you move it to Charlotte, you just shorten the trip. The North Carolina's filled with – Charlotte is nothing but North Carolina is nothing but New York part two. And then you could get up and down Boston as well. You've got direct flights from Boston to Charlotte. Just move them to Charlotte. All right, one more text, and then we'll get to Shootout.
All right, from the 508, nope, it's already too late. Bregman would be a waste of money at this point, not worth it. Also, they're idiots if they waste prospect capital on anyone over 30 who are one-year or short-term fixes. 42% of revenue spent on payroll, 23rd in MLB. Their ticket prices are not 23rd.
That number texted in last night, that statistic, so shout out to the texter because I
that
wanted to try.
That texter has no girlfriend.
I wanted to try.
That's too much time in front of the computer.
I wanted to try to use that stat last night, and I didn't get a chance to, but I, yeah, look, I think it's
bunch of
damn nerds.
The number I look at, and I talked about this with Bradfo last night, is Sonny Gray, it's a one-year deal, and when it's done, KJ is going to be 36, right? Dylan
Cease, so why get him at 35? That's an argument.
So Dylan Cease, a better player, seven-year deal, but when he's done, he's also going to be 37. So each guy is going to be 37 at the end of the deal, yet you went with the cheaper guy on the shorter deal. Like, that's a decision you made.
Wait, one guy's going to be 37 next year, and the other guy's going to be 37 in what, 6 years?
7 years or whatever from now,
You don't see how that math does not match? What? No, you don't take the guy who's going to be 37 next year. Wait, you can get rid of the guy when he's 34 and you get 3-4 years out of him. I think that's
exactly.
I think the Red Sox are kind of getting back into that Chaim Bloom Band-Aid mode. Like, how bad of an injury did the guy have and how cheap is he? And can we get him? All right. You ready to do this, John?
Hey, we'll see how it goes, KJ.
I think you'll do very fine in shootout. Here it goes.
Any one of you lily-livered, bow-legged varmints care to slap leather with me? You better know who you're dealing with. Gotcha!
All right, John, like Aaron Burr versus Alexander Hamilton, are you Burr or are you Hamilton when you're given different cases? Begin, David.
All right, so John, we'll start off with best case for NBA MVP this year. We're starting with Jaylen Brown versus Steph Curry.
Yeah, I would lean Jaylen Brown in that scenario because Steph Curry still has Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green there, whereas JB, a lot of new guys on the floor around him from the last time he was deep in the playoffs.
Jaylen Brown versus Anthony Edwards.
I would still go JB for kind of a similar reason.
JB versus Donovan Mitchell.
That's closer, and I'd probably still go JB again for all the other reasons.
All right, Jaylen Brown versus Victor Wembanyama.
So this is interesting. I would probably lean Wemby if he stays healthy. Like, that Spurs team, let's not forget, was picking number one overall a couple years ago. That's how they got him, and now they're a legit contender maybe in the West, so I'm lean Wemby there.
All right, Victor Wembanyama versus Tyrese Maxey.
I would probably still go Wemby there. That's because I love Tyrese Maxey. I think he's a great player, and you can't depend on Embiid's health. I just think the Spurs are going to finish up as a better team than the 76ers.
All right, Wembanyama versus Cade Cunningham.
I'd go Wemby there. I think there's a lot to like in Detroit, but I actually think the Spurs might be better over the long haul.
Wemby versus Luka.
You know I'm not a believer in Luka, so I'm going Wemby.
All right, Wemby versus Nikola Jokic.
I'm going to go Jokic. He's still Jokic. And at Denver, he still carries them.
All right, and finally we have Jokic versus SGA.
Yeah, what are the Thunder, David? Like 24-1?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, you got to go with SGA there. I mean, this dude is fantastic. I still kind of have nightmares about the pick the Celtics traded for Kyrie Irving that maybe they could have used to get SGA, you know, whatever. But speak about nightmares too, David. How about the Clippers? Not only do they trade SGA away, but they're so bad now, they might have another pick that's in the top five going to the Thunder after this year. Man, SGA is your MVP.
All right, so you see how shootout works for you. All right, now.
That wasn't bad.
David, do me.
All right. Quarterback versus quarterback, who would you rather have attempt to win the game on a final drive? We'll start off with Bo Nix versus Caleb Williams.
Ooh. Caleb Williams.
All right, Caleb Williams versus Baker Mayfield.
Oh, Baker Mayfield.
All right, Baker Mayfield versus Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
We have Josh Allen versus Justin Herbert.
Wow, Josh Allen. He must be loving this in his hotel room right now.
We have Josh Allen versus Aaron Rodgers.
Josh Allen, jeez.
This one's tough. Josh Allen versus Drake May.
Whoa, win a game. Drake May. We're going to see it tomorrow.
Drake May versus Patrick Mahomes.
Oh. You know what? I'd have to say what I've seen this year, I'm going to go Drake May.
And finally, Drake May versus Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford. Wow. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe that. Did I go against the familia there?
No, I think that's fair. Stafford is in the MVP conversation this year, and he's led a game-winning drive in the Super Bowl before. So,
all right, final one, David.
All right, this one.
Sure.
Yeah, this one is for both of you. The best snack food while watching football will start off.
Yeah.
All right, nachos versus sliders.
Come on, Lions.
I'll go sliders.
That's what I would say too. Sliders. All right.
Sliders versus steak tips.
I'll still go sliders if I'm watching a game.
Oh,
yeah.
What?
It's just something easier to eat. I like steak tips for a meal. But
you can just nibble. Okay, so it's a push. So I guess we dropped the gun, right? Okay, so I'll be nice since it's John's first time. Sliders I'll go with.
All right, sliders versus pizza.
Pizza.
Wait, you just took the slider over the steak tips and now you're going to...
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Pizza.
Pizza versus wings, final matchup.
Wings, yeah, all day.
Okay,
you
could
have said that
yourself
first, and I would have taken it.
Okay, so there you go. And that is shootout here on KJ and Lions next. The Celtics somewhat on a roll. How far does that roll go? Next on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.